This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Third hour. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney company from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Challenging times as we navigate them. Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7. At rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you on this Friday, final hour before we blast you into the weekend. Hopefully you've got some plans that maybe are a bit of a deviation from the plans we've all had for well over 2 months now. Just remain safe and all that good stuff and social distancing, et cetera. Just be responsible. Do the right thing. Don't be a clown. I'm not here to tell you. Just don't be a clown.
Exactly. You people will be heading to the beach and doing everything else. Mm-hmm. Just be safe.
That's right. Just be a good human being. So we talk about the NBA and the conference call that a lot of the power brokers were on last week. LeBron was on that call. Chris Paul, Giannis was there. Anthony Davis was on the call. A few other. I think Blake Griffin may have been on that call. Mm-hmm.
James Harden was not.
That's where I was going.
Right.
It's James Harden was not. And, you know, maybe this is kind of the reason why he wasn't. He seems to be running a little counter to the beliefs or the hopes of some of these NBA stars who seem pretty committed to get back as soon as possible. James Harden's not necessarily feeling it the way LeBron is.
Yeah, I know. And James Harden, obviously one of the stars of the league, you'd think he would be aligned with, you know, Chris Paul is his buddy, or at least he played with him a couple years ago. And so, you know, maybe he's, I don't know. I can't imagine why he would not want to get back and play again unless he's got a real fear, a health fear, which could be the case, you know. And so many of these players, we think that they want to come back for obvious reasons, but the reality is, it's scary, man. Like, you have no idea what's going to happen once you start playing the games again. And the motivation will be, okay, I want to win a championship. I want to, you know, finish out this season. I want to get whatever prorated salary I'm going to get, you know, get this season done. And, you know, we know that that's likely going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And I think if there's the ability to delay and still get the season done, as we heard yesterday, I think that then players like James Harden are saying, well, why are we rushing then? If we can delay indefinitely and then push the season back next year indefinitely, then what's the rush? And I don't blame them, to be honest with you.
No, I definitely don't blame them. I'm certainly not going to be, you know, flipping with somebody's health here. There's no way. But there is a little bit of a rush because there is no vaccine that's coming anytime soon.
No,
What's the difference, provided all the checkpoints are hit and it's safe and the players feel good?
Testing, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's one of them. Yeah, maybe.
But it feels like they have the tests that they need or would want anyways. So.
Yeah. I know the baseball players are looking for more testing.
Yeah.
They actually said that. That came out today where I think they said they want, was the number 15,000 or...
That number sounds right, though.
Right. Something with either they were... Well, I think it was that... MLB had proposed committing to 15,000 tests.
Yes.
But baseball players, the union wanted more.
Yeah.
I don't think that the union put a tangible number on the 15,000. But I guess they want more. So, you know, what I don't understand here, here's the quote from James Harden. And he was on CNBC. This was on Wednesday. Quote, there's so many things that have to be figured out. That's fair. I want it to be safe. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, but I want it to be all the way to a minimum, end quote, before anybody returns to the court. Now, that's a very nebulous term, minimum.
Yeah.
I mean, how do we judge minimum? Just based on the decreased numbers of positive tests. Sure, that's one way of looking at it, but what is his definition of minimum? It's not none.
It's not none, but it's not obviously, you know, you can't even put like a number. You can't say, you know, one per whatever, 10,000 people. You can't even say that.
No.
Because you don't know how much it's, how quickly it spreads or what it potentially could do in a locker room. And so, okay, at the end of the day, they're going to have to isolate and heavily test, regardless of when the season comes back, even if it if the number is still at a minimum. That's going to be the protocol going forward. And, you know, the sports leagues are starting to make investments, if not outright buying. I think Major League Baseball actually outright bought a testing facility so that they could send every, you know, all of the tests and get them back in a reasonable time. I think within a day or so. Yeah. I think it was the same group that does their drug testing. And so sports leagues and teams are going to have to make these investments, you know, for testing, because otherwise some guys just aren't going to feel comfortable. Some will be cavalier and just say, you know what, we'll be okay. I trust the guys around me. I trust the medical professionals that are on our team and in this country. Yeah. So let's just go play and let's get this thing over with and get it done. But there's a lot that have families that are going to say, I'm not risking the livelihood of my loved ones.
No, nor should they. You know, the tricky part here, Teek, and I'm looking at the daily changes for the virus as per the CDC website, right? And I just went to New York, right? So, and this is what's very tricky about this, and that's what's worrisome about Memorial Day, 4th of July, barbecues, parties, summer, things opening. I'm not saying things shouldn't open. Eventually, we got to get. It's time to start opening some stuff. But, yep. but the risk that comes with it, like I'm looking at the number, right? So on April 20th, there were 4,100 positive tests, cases, pardon me, in the state of New York. And that represented a very low peak, the lowest that it had been in multiple weeks, right? Yep. And then from April 20th, just to April 24th, it went up 6,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm looking at, I know that this isn't great for TV because I'm looking at the graph, but the graph, you know, hits a very low point.
Yep.
You start to exhale, boom,
and it spikes up 6,000. And especially in light of what Jared Dudley of the Lakers said recently, BT, and this is his quote, because you know what we've been talking about? I think was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday we talked about the Orlando Disney World, like in a bubble kind of isolation of all the teams and the players. Jared Dudley said this yesterday on a video conference with reporters, said, quote, "You will be allowed to leave. You know, now just because you're here, if we're going to give you that leeway and you come back with corona, you can't play." It just, so, you know, we said earlier, like guys being cavalier, that sounds cavalier. Like, we're going to leave the compound and go do what you want to do and then come back into the compound. It doesn't make sense. It makes you understand why a guy like James Harden is kind of wary if guys are thinking that way.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
If
half the league is saying, okay, yeah, let's start, but I'm going to go do what I'm going to do because I'm going to do what I'm going to do and be a knucklehead, then you're endangering everybody else. You know, and it's not just as easy as, well, if you test positive for corona, you can't play. Because you never know when you've now passed it on to someone else.
Here's the other problem.
Was innocent and doing nothing.
Correct. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, you know, take LeBron or AD or Giannis or take any of the superstars who legitimately have a chance to win a championship this year. Right? Take those guys.
Yep.
And, you know, they can lock themselves in their hotel room or wherever they're going to be isolated. And
do nothing.
And
do
really
the right
do
thing.
Nothing.
Yep.
And,
do the right thing.
And commit themselves and remain married to this and vigilant throughout. And then you could have the 12th man or somebody who is not even going to play. He's going to be in a suit.
Yep.
You know, three guys can you know, don't have to dress, but they could be on the bench, whatever, or the second row behind the bench. And they go out, whether it's to a bar or whether it's just to meet a girl or whether it's out to dinner, even if it's something innocuous.
Yep.
But they disobey, and I'll put quotes around, disobey the guidelines set forth for isolation. And then what happens? They reconvene at practice the next day. LeBron's been on his iPad. He's, you know, he's FaceTimed his wife and his kids. And LeBron's, he's got ice on his knees and he's getting himself right physically. And then he goes to practice, you know, and there's a bead of sweat or he shares a bowl with this knucklehead who goes out. And then, God forbid, LeBron gets it.
Yeah.
I mean,
now LeBron can't play.
That's what I'm saying.
And they lose the series. And, you know, I mean, so, yeah.
I don't know.
I hear what Jared Dudley's saying. I get it. I understand that nobody wants to be forcefully contained someplace. But ultimately, you kind of have to for some of these guys, and at least give them options that aren't like in the general public, because we know that that's how this thing spreads, is when you get loose with your with the discipline about where you're going and who you're hanging around with, that bad things can happen for the league as a whole.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to look at, let's see here, Teak. You know, I mean, the cases are still, like, I'm looking at this graph. Now this is for the entire United States region, mm-hmm. the entire United States. All right. So, it's almost unnerving to go back and, I'm looking at, March 26th or March. Like, think about where we were mentally. Like, we had no idea. March 13th, this is just the United States, 565 cases. Boom. Then you get to April 1st, 26,000 cases. But we're still at, if I'm reading this right, and I think I am, 25,000 cases a day in the United States.
Yeah. So it's leveled, but what does that mean for
sports? It hasn't leveled that much.
I agree.
I thought it leveled because in New York and New Jersey, it's gone boom, down hard.
Yeah.
But we know there's other pockets because the early pockets were mm-hmm. here, Michigan, Florida, California, Washington, of course, the state of Washington. But 25,000 cases is still a lot.
And that's why sports can't come back as easily as a lot of people think it should be able to come back. You know, it's interesting. You talk to or you hear executives around the league and even the Players Association and the players talking about this like it's just going to happen, like it's an inevitability that it's going to happen. And I, who did we talk to yesterday? I forget now, but Chris Mannix, and he was talking about how it's going to happen, right? Eventually it's going to happen, even if it takes until, you know, August, right? They're going to go out and play. They have to. But I don't know if they necessarily have to, you know what I mean? And if we're not at a space where sports is safe, then they shouldn't do it. And players are going to feel that way.
Yeah. I mean, I go back and forth on this, although I haven't come full circle. You know where I stand. I don't expect it to happen. I hope I'm wrong. I've said mm-hmm. that for 7 weeks now. But can you imagine, because people talk about an asterisk on the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Given the condensed nature, the wacky startup, and just all the variables, and maybe a shortened first-round series, maybe a shortened second-round season,
yep.
fewer off days, whatever they have to do to make it work. But could you imagine that we're sitting here watching and dissecting and then crowning a champion, and the team that won, quite possibly won because one of the teams that they had to beat their best player.
Dude, that's going to happen.
Can you imagine that?
That's going to happen.
You can't have a champion on the. You can't do that then.
But what are you going to do?
You got to try. No, you have to try.
You have to try for sure. But that's going to happen. And even if it's not a star, even if it's a role player.
Yeah.
But that role player, you know, is your, I don't know, one of your better defenders. He's going to lock down somebody. And all of a sudden he doesn't. And you go play against the Rockets, say, and you just get run out of the gym because there's nobody to check that other, you know, one of the three shooters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that absolutely is going to happen. That's why this is so confounding to like try to put your mind around.
Mm-hmm. What would you do? I mean, how would you handle this if you were on the Giants right now?
Mm-hmm.
What would you be thinking?
If I had kids like I did when I was early in my career, I wouldn't want to go play. I wouldn't want to go to practice.
Yeah.
There's no way. I mean, locker rooms are dirty, man.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They could do a lot to keep them clean and have people, but it's just dirty. Like it's just I mean. That's the other side of it that I don't think we're thinking about is people cleaning the locker rooms and, you know, everyone taking responsibilities. Hell, you go into like the regular bathroom in an office building. It's not always sanitary. You know what I mean? So
we're lucky if we have tissues left over.
That's right.
There's no napkins.
That's exactly right. So
in hours.
So think
Santa
about
Santa uses them all.
Think about what's happening in locker rooms. It's. So,
locker rooms are repulsive. But you said you wouldn't want to. But does that mean that you wouldn't? Can you see yourself taking a stand? Like, I mean, that's a lot of money.
I don't know. That's a great question.
I hear you.
I probably wouldn't. This is unprecedented.
Meaning you probably wouldn't go.
I wouldn't go.
Wow. That's interesting. All right. We got Sean Devaney. How do you say, I always say his name?
Devaney.
Devaney. One of these years I'll get it right.
I know.
It's a good Irish name. How do I get it wrong? Sean Devaney, NBA writer for TheHeavy.com. We'll throw this by him. We'll get his thoughts on everything Tiki and I just hit. That's next. Some more hoops. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that'll last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. All right, Teek, let's continue with the hoops theme. We're joined by Sean Devaney, NBA writer for TheHeavy.com. It's been a little bit. Sean, welcome back. How you been, man?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you guys?
We're doing great, buddy. Thank you.
We can't complain. You know, Sean, everybody was interested in or locked into the Last Dance for the last 5 weeks. But it seems like a lot of the players, whether as opponents and now it seems even teammates, are upset with how this thing turned out. Do they have gripes with Jordan?
Yeah, I can't say that I'm surprised. I mean, this is how Michael Jordan has pretty much treated everybody in his orbit for the duration of his career. And, you know, for most guys, you know, when you're pursuing greatness all throughout your playing days, there's a certain mentality that you have, and you don't want to necessarily be the nice guy. And that was certainly Jordan. Problem with Jordan is that he never turned that off. You know, he's always maintained that even in retirement here at 57 years old, he is still out there grinding axes and settling scores and holding grudges. And I think you saw a lot of that in the documentary. So it doesn't surprise me at all to see, you know, here we are, you know, about a week after this thing has wrapped up, and you still have a lot of people kind of angry at the whole thing. It really does fit with the way Jordan has approached the people around him throughout the course of his career.
You know, it's interesting, Sean, sorry, BT, jumping on you, but like I start seeing like these conversations, whether it's, you know, I get these RSS feeds, and it's like, is Jordan still friends with XYZ? Is Jordan still friends with Dennis Rodman? Like, who's he still friends with?
That's an excellent point. And that's kind of what, and look, I'm not judging the guy, however he lives his life. I mean, he's had a very successful time.
You're right. Got billions.
So I'm not going to criticize him for that. And I don't know who his friends are, but certainly publicly, you can look at, you know, Charles Barkley is a great example of a guy who, you know, was friends with Jordan, you know, for more than a decade. They were friends for 15 years from when they were, you know, teenagers and coming up to before they came into the league. And now, you know, Barkley says something 15 years ago about Jordan's stewardship of the Charlotte Bobcats. They were the Bobcats at the time, and Jordan still hasn't forgiven him. And it's kind of like, you know, it's a tough way to go through life, I would imagine. But again, I what do I know?
You
know? Yeah. I'm not gonna criticize how Michael Jordan lives his life. It's just that you could see by the end of that documentary that this was a guy who was kind of standing alone, whose greatness forced him to be alone, and really hasn't changed that mindset.
I don't think Kobe was that different. I mean, Kobe was kind of alone. I think a lot of it was his own.
Yeah, but Tiki, though, look at what happened to Kobe after he retired. I guess
that's what
I'm saying. That's where the difference is.
What?
Is that Kobe really opened up. He became an ambassador for basketball. He was the great, you know, he was always in China. He was always in Europe. He was traveling around.
Yep.
And he was opening himself up to all these things that he was closed to when he was a player.
And buried the hatchet with Shaq. And, you know, like he kind of like started to make up for all those things. He even said, like, I was a bad friend. And sometimes when you're driving to be great, you kind of are a bad friend, right? It's just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. And you know, Tim Grover, who was the trainer for Michael Jordan and also became the trainer for Kobe Bryant, he told me something about Kobe shortly after he died. And he said that, you know, when I was with Kobe, he never pretended we were friends. It was always, you know, I'm going to use you for what you can do for me, and then you're gone. And that was really the same kind of treatment that Grover got from Michael Jordan. Yeah. The thing is that after all this, you know, after their careers, you know, Grover and Jordan were never close again. Grover and Kobe were, you know, and they were friends again. Because during your career, you have that single-mindedness, and that's understandable. But once you retire, you know, don't you have to kind of let some of that stuff go?
Yeah, I think you do. I think you do. If you want to. If you don't, then, you know, is what it is. Sean Devaney is with us here, NBA writer for Heavy.com. You know, I wanted to ask you this about Jordan. Like, the two things that, well, I mean, what really shone through for me here during the documentary was, listen, you could talk about the 40-inch vertical. You could talk about the 4-3-3-40 that he ran at North Carolina, allegedly. You know, Roy Williams telling that story. Good stuff. And his athletic prowess was through the roof. What it reinforced for me again, Sean, is his fundamentals was his attention to detail, pivot foot, jab step, angles, left hand, right hand, mechanics, like sound base for shooting. I don't know, and I know it's not LeBron, it's not Kareem, and those are the two other three best players in my opinion. I don't believe there's a more mechanically sound, fundamentally sound superstar than Michael Jordan. I don't think it was Bird. I don't think it was Magic. In terms of mechanics and fundamentals, I think MJ had that too.
Yeah. I would agree with you on that. And I think that, you know, with all the great ones, and Jordan was the best at this, you know, you were in a position where, especially late in the game, even you know, in regular situations, you know, in the third quarter, in the second quarter, whatever, where you kind of knew what they were going to do, but you still couldn't stop it. And you know, Larry Bird had that, and Magic Johnson had that, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had that, but nobody had it quite like Michael Jordan, where you knew exactly what he was going to do. You know, the Brian Russell play in Game 6, you know, basically the last play of that 98 season, you know, that's a perfect example. And Brian Russell knew exactly what Michael Jordan was going to do. Couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
And if you go back to the first episode, you know, when Craig Elo, poor Craig Elo, was the highlight, you know, from the 1988 series against Cleveland, the shot, the one that sort of changed the perception of Jordan, it was the same situation. You know, it was a very similar play. It was in the middle of the floor, and it was a mid-range jumper. The Cavs knew it was coming, and they couldn't stop it. Yeah. And you know, then you had 10 years later, Utah in the same exact situation. They couldn't stop it either.
Sean, I wanted to ask you your thoughts on this. I mean, and baseball's talked about this, and, you know, not that it's, like, directly coming from the commissioner, but it's been put out there, hey, listen, if one positive test would derail our return to the field or the court, in basketball's case, obviously, then we probably wouldn't go forth with this plan to get back. So with that in mind, they're obviously all sports are prepared to deal with a few positive tests here. What do you think is the NBA's plan if a team loses a superstar or two? Would that be treated the same as two guys at the end of the bench? Like, how do you play the NBA Finals, God forbid, if LeBron James and Anthony Davis contract the virus and they can't play?
Yeah, I think it would be the same as, you know, somebody getting a knee injury, you know, Kevin Durant blowing out his Achilles last year. You know, I mean, I think that's how you would have to treat it. You know, that's just how it's going to have to be looked at in terms of the injury protocol. And you're right. You know, it's one of the big questions that is dogging any chance of an NBA return. But you know, one of the big things, and this doesn't get talked enough about, in my opinion, is that you've got to remember that the way the league is set up is, and this has been the case since David Stern and Charlie Grantham back in the '80s. You know, this was one of the ways they saved the NBA was that there's a split in the revenue. There's a direct split in the revenue. So the players have a lot of incentive to come back and play because there is that direct split. It's 50-50 split. If there's no revenue, then the owners aren't getting it, but neither are the players, and it's going to hammer their salary cap next year. So I think that they'll be more willing to accept some positive tests than Major League Baseball will, where there isn't that same setup.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. You know, if Michael Jordan was the hero, the antagonist for the back end of this this Last Dance was the Utah Jazz, and today we lost Jerry Sloan. And it's unfortunate. He never won a title. One of the great coaches ever, Western
He's
Conference.
So good.
He was so good. Put the great team together with Karl Malone and Stockton and a bunch of those guys. But he didn't win a championship. But how should we remember him?
You know, it's interesting because he'll be remembered for those Stockton and Malone teams, but they never stopped losing. You know, it wasn't until the very end, and even then they were still a pretty good team, that they underwent a couple of bad years under Jerry Sloan. You know, so there were a lot of people who, you know, he never won Coach of the Year, for instance, and it was because, well, you know, it's all Stockton and Malone. It's easy to win with those guys. You can win 50 games just by throwing those guys out there. But he was doing it with other players, with Kirilenko and Darren mm-hmm. Williams and guys like that. You know, it was that's a testament to just how good he had been, and I think that he did get overlooked. And if there's a word that I would use to describe his career is probably overlooked. You know, there was always someone better. There was always a brighter, shinier object. But just the consistency that he had, it kind of led to him being overlooked, and that was probably too bad. You know, he had such a strong compass in terms of what he thought was right and what he thought was wrong. I was in Chicago right when the whole controversy happened with Darren Williams that eventually led him to quit.
Yeah,
I remember
that
night vividly.
Yep.
You know, it was something that was shocking, but it was a reminder that this guy just felt like, you know what, this league isn't what it used to be. It isn't for me anymore. I got to step aside and let somebody else do this.
It's amazing, too. 15 straight years in the playoffs here. And keep in mind, you know, it's not like top free agents were ever flocking
15.
To Utah. They couldn't stand going there. There's nothing to do. There's no nightlife.
Right.
So you had to build.
They had such a difficult time getting any. I mean, if you didn't draft them, they weren't coming to Utah.
That's my point. Draft, develop, and win the old-fashioned way. Sean, good stuff. T, did you have a last one? Are you good?
No, we're good. But real quickly, but Paul Pierce was. We talked about this earlier in the week. Said LeBron's not in his top five. He's like crazy in quarantine. Correct.
Paul Pierce has, and God bless him for it, he has a grudge against LeBron, and he's sticking with it. So, all right, go ahead and go with that, Paul.
Yeah.
Everybody knows you're a little crazy for saying it, but, you know, I mean, if you feel that strongly about it and you're able to put yourself out there on national TV, bravo to you, man.
But what is the grudge derived from?
It's the spit game, man.
That he kept losing?
No, it's a spit game, right?
And the spit game.
It's a spit game, and yeah, you know, it's the whole Miami thing. I think that rubbed a lot of those Celtics the wrong way.
I don't see KG throwing shade at LeBron the way Paul Pierce does.
Well, nobody asked KG when they
were KG, but KG, I've seen KG when he does, I don't know if he still does it, that KG 21 or whatever the heck.
Yeah,
mean, every time LeBron came up, he was, you know, throwing platitudes out there. He was showing him love, not like Paul Pierce.
Because he recognizes.
Yeah.
He recognizes. Right. Appreciate you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, guys. Thank you.
You got it, man. Sean Devity from Heavy.com. Yeah, Jerry Sloan was he was a great coach, you know.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that you wish had the ultimate validation of a championship ring,
right?
Because he did they were so good for so long.
Yep.
And they never had the benefit of, well, listen, I want to go play for Utah. I'll sign the big contract and join. No, and enhance what they had.
Yep.
And that was a real organization.
I think Sean's word is right, overlooked. Because until this, I kind of forgot about him, to be honest with you.
He
was great. And you think about those Jazz teams. You think about the players. You don't think about the coach until this Last Dance. It just reminded me how good of a team that they put together. And you said it, BT. I didn't realize it. 15 straight years.
15 straight.
And I mean, that's unprecedented. That's a good player.
Well, no, the Spurs.
But
yes. And he was a good player, Jerry Sloan. You know, Jerry Sloan played up until 70, and we were crawling. It was 76 maybe was his last year. Played for the Bulls. I know Scottie Pippen was giving him some real love. He was a scrappy player. He was a He was a pretty good NBA player, too. A lot of people don't know that.
Yep.
All right, Teague, we got the update from Ack. We've got the blast after that. Rich Ackerman's update is right now. Here's Ack.
All right. Yeah. Old school jam. Bumping you into the weekend. I like this one. You know that. Let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here, Teague, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's time for that. And let's go with Steve Bender. At Steve Bender WX is his Twitter handle. This is a really good question here. I was listening to you talk about Baker Mayfield and how important it is for him to do well this year. Not just specifically Baker, but how long of a grace period do we give athletes after COVID and the unique circumstances? It's a great question.
I think if he's asking like to get their act together.
Yes.
A
good question.
We already know that like off seasons are so truncated that the season starts and guys just, it takes them a couple of weeks. I'm going to probably say a month, man. Right after the season starts, it's just so disrupted right now, especially for new coaches. Like, can you imagine installing a brand new offense and not having any physical contact with these guys until, like, I don't know, when's it going to happen? June, in late June, maybe. It's like the rookies have no shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's a tough situation. That's a great question too. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, where your car care needs, guarantee low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
I know that the Carolina Panthers are particularly in bad shape as far as getting up to speed, because obviously their head coach, Matt Rhule, is a rookie head coach. Their coordinator, offensive coordinator, even though he was previously in the NFL with the Saints, Joe Brady, he's a rookie offensive coordinator in the National Football League. And Phil Snow, who is their defensive coordinator, was with Matt Rhule and Baylor. So he's a rookie defensive coordinator. Like, there's no vet, like, coach presence on that squad. I mean, it may work out for them because they don't know what they don't know. But still, I mean,
good thing you got that 7-year contract, Matty.
That's right. That's why, it's probably why he needs a 7-year contract.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think it would be a little different, too, just for me to throw in a little bit on the reaction from the fans and what we expect from these athletes post-COVID. I think that each sport's going to be very different. Like, I think in baseball, I'll give you Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole signed monster deal with the Yankees. If Gerrit Cole comes out in the first, you know, 3 or 4 starts, like Catfish Hunter back in the mid-70s when he came to the Yankees, weren't very good, and they weren't. Look it up. And then he became a beast again.
Yep.
I think that there will be an understanding, you know, the intricacies of pitching and but in the NFL, it won't matter because every single Sunday it feels like a season.
Yeah,
and perspective will get lost.
That's right. Yeah.
So I think it really depends on the sport.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's not going to be like, oh, they'll figure it out.
No, hey,
you lose
NFL.
You lose 3 games and you're kind of out of it.
That's pretty much true. All right, blast time. You ready?
Yep.
Go ahead, D-Cell.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
The Chiefs will begin contract negotiations with Patty Mahomes this summer, according to their owner, Clark Hunt. Clark Hunt just sounds like a wealthy name. It reeks of affluence. Clark Hunt. Clark Hunt is here to see. Clark Hunt. Do you expect any snags in Mahomes' contract talks?
None at all.
Zip.
They're going to pay him what he's worth, and it's going to be a lot of money, probably with a 4 at the beginning of it. And Pat Mahomes is not going to say a word about it. Unlike some of these other quarterbacks who are bombastic about what they deserve to be paid, Patty Mahomes just rolls with the flows, and he said it many times already. It'll get done when it gets done. There's no urgency in his mind, and that's great for him.
Totally agree, but I am curious. What do you think the years are? Can we see like can we see a rare amount of years attached to it? Can we see something like that?
Well, I mean, you used to see 7-year contracts, but I don't think so. I think it just gets too punitive, and the number to justify it has to be enormous.
Yeah.
But he's still, what, 25?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to sign him until he's 32, I would.
I'd just say 10 years.
I doubt it, but I'm saying I doubt 10. But would I be surprised if I see 6 years and, you know, it's like $250 million? Not at all.
Wow. Okay. As LeSean McCoy, a little shady, told us last week, there was mutual interest in Shady going back to the Eagles.
Well, we've been talking a little bit with the Eagles. You know, I won't get into too much details. You know, I don't want another team to back off. Where you know how that is, man. You got guys bitten for you.
All right. Now reports have come that he was right. He was dishing the truth here on Tiki and Tierney. Would Philly benefit from signing LeSean McCoy? Yeah, I mean, in an expected role of, you know, limited touches, he still has a little bounce to him. He didn't play a lot last year, so he should be pretty fresh. He could be a good mentor. He seems like he's at that stage in his career. I think it would be a decent union. I'm not saying it's going to rock the power structure of the NFC, but I'd be okay with this.
I think so. And this is where he kind of wants to go back to. He wants to come full circle. And Miles Sanders is clearly their guy, their second-round pick from last year. But
and Sanders said that, too.
Yep. Just looking at their roster, BT, it's Corey Clement, who we all know. It's Boston Scott, who most people don't know. But also Elijah Holyfield, who was last year's – he was with the Panthers last year from Georgia. So they have a deep running back room. But I think that if Shady wants to keep playing, it's kind of a perfect spot for it to happen because you're right. He doesn't need 300 touches. Hell, he doesn't need 100 touches. He just needs to be an influence.
Mm-hmm. This was pretty good. According to Jamal Crawford, former Bulls GM Jerry Krause's post-Michael Jordan plan, you ready, was to sign T-Mac, who was insane when he was healthy, Tim Duncan, and Grant Hill. What? Wow, I mean, why don't you strive a little higher there, Jerry?
I know.
Would that have been the best big three ever? Good question.
I mean, if you put their career, I don't know, man, because Grant got hurt.
I think I know.
Go ahead.
And I think the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Because you think about, you know, let's take, all right, the Celtics trio was great in the mid-'80s, same with the Lakers, I got that. But, you know, Bosch. You know, Tim Duncan was twice as good as Chris Bosh.
Mm-hmm.
And Grant Hill, when he was young and right, before he hurt his ankle in that playoff series with the Pistons, and they let him irresponsibly hobble around. And even with the Suns, like, he regenerated.
Is he on par with
Honestly, let me put it this way. If I have this is where I was going. If I have a healthy Grant Hill, and I like Dwayne Wade, I'm taking Grant Hill every single time over Dwayne Wade. With zero hesitation.
Now, the question would be, is Tracy McGrady anywhere close to LeBron?
No, but he doesn't have to be because I think that the difference in the other players kind of narrows the gap between LeBron and T-Mac.
So you're saying yes?
I mean, you've got Tim Duncan's one of the top 10 players.
It's a good conversation.
It's a great one.
I'm going to say no.
Well, who are you going to say? Are you going to say it's LeBron?
Yeah, it's LeBron because they were great. Actually, it's probably the Warriors, to be honest with you.
No.
Dude, you got the greatest scorer in history in KD. You got the greatest three-point shooter in history in Steph. And then you got a great also shooter and two-way player in Klay.
In Klay. Yeah. I mean, that's actually pretty good. Grant Hill played some D, obviously.
Yeah,
he's a great defensive player.
Yeah.
You know, Duncan's a top-10 player. None of those KD's a top-10 player. That's close. That's an interesting one. I can revisit that at some point. That's a great question. Victor Oladipo, we know Victor, admitted that he wasn't even 80% when he returned from injury this year. That seems a little risky there, a little irresponsible. Do we blame the team, the doctors, or Oladipo most for letting him out there? I don't know if I'm going to use, but I would have to look at Oladipo at that point because.
Yeah.
If you, listen, to be 87%, 90%, all right, there's a little roll of the dice. If you're at 80 or slightly below as a pro athlete, you know that you're not ready.
You're right.
You got to tap the brakes
And by
yourself.
The way, it showed because when he came back, I think they might have won the first game, but then they lost like four or five or maybe even more in a row, BT.
Yeah.
If you're that compromised in the NBA – I don't care if you're playing inferior teams, you're going to get run around.
That's right.
So, yeah, I think you're right. You got to put it on Oladipo. He should have said, I'm not quite ready yet.
You can't hide. I mean, if you're a DH in baseball, you got a hamstring, you get a couple of whacks, maybe put one in the gap, put one in the seats. Okay.
Yep.
When you're on the court 30-something minutes, they're going to go right at you defensively. He can move. At least not the way he's accustomed. And he couldn't shoot. He was under 40%. Tiger Woods. Come on, say it. Tiger Woods.
Tiger who?
Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning. Well, what do you say over here, Tiger? We're about to book 72 away from the hole.
Peyton, minus 200 to win the Champions for Charity match against Lefty and Brady. Do we agree with the odds?
I agree with the odds.
Why?
I agree with the odds. First of all, this medalist course down in Florida is Tiger Woods' home course.
I wanted to see if you said that. Good point.
It's a Pat Dye, Greg Norman course, even though Norman doesn't play it anymore. And they've edited it. He said, don't associate my name with this course anymore. Why? Because they made Tiger tees, BT. They put them back like 70 yards. Oh, it plays at 7,500 yards, BT. And it's like a 77, dude. So I think Tiger has a distinct advantage with Peyton Manning over Tom Brady, who, if you listen to some of his former teammates like Wes Welker, says if he's in it and he's dialed in, he's going to be awesome. But if he's not dialed in, he sucks. Tom Brady, that is. So I'm going to say, give me Tiger Peyton minus 200.
Interesting. I would love to know what the slope is. It sounds like it's got to be north of 140. It's got to be in that 140 range. It has to be.
Definitely. I didn't look that up, but yeah.
I'm going to go the opposite way just based on the value. good points. And I might actually really, truly go the opposite way. Like, if I bet this, I would bet the other way.
Of course, because you can't make any money this way.
That's one. You know, I don't want to lay a couple of $100 to win 100, but I don't know what's going to happen. I would bet that Tiger's not razor sharp.
Yeah, back
because
injury.
Of the back.
But Peyton's retired. Tom Brady is not.
Yeah, I understand that.
Just try to juggle it all, man. You got to factor it all.
And you have to. Mickelson's a wild card. He's a great smack talker. He really is.
And that's gonna come into play this season.
I hope it does. I'm gonna go with Phil and Brady. I'm gonna go with those guys.
All right.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Give me Tiger.
Yeah, you got to take Tiger. I mean, listen, there's not a lot of intrigue to say, like, do I really care what Mickelson shoots?
No.
I want to see, like, does Peyton or Brady, do they balloon? I mean, I would take an 80 any day of the week, but do one of these guys come out and shoot, like, an 84? Like, does it get embarrassing for them a little bit, or an 89?
Well, I know Peyton's playing a lot of golf, so, and I don't know if Tom is or not, because Tom's out practicing with his boy, so,
yep.
I mean...
Yeah,
practicing football, not golf.
You know what, though? It's also, I believe, the back nine's alternate shot, so it wouldn't be conventional scoring, so you might not even know what they really shoot, but it'll be fun. So
you know what Lawrence Taylor said? Hit somebody else's ball? I'd rather watch two fish fornicate than hit somebody else's ball.
Yeah, that's true. Teague, have a great weekend. Teague and I are back tomorrow, 2 to 6 Eastern across the country. Remain safe, sensible, and sane. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. We'll see you soon. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.